If you've ever watched a science fiction movie, I'm sure you've seen those creatures that are very different from us. At least they look very different. More often than not, they have a form that kind of one that we can recognize. They might look like an octopus or, you know, whatever, a giant insect. They're breathing like a human. They may even be speaking English. And we don't really know there's life quite like that out there, but there's been some things that have been detected that are actually pretty darn exciting. And David Toomey, who's an associate professor of English, he directs professional writing and technical communication programs at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, has authored a book. It's titled Weird Life, The Search for Life That Is Very, Very Different from Our Own. And maybe you've heard about weird life before. If you have, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments about it. How does it make you feel about life on Earth? And there may be creatures very different from us out there. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to my Facebook page. You can post a question or a comment there. That's just at The Larry Mueller Show. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. I'm glad to hear from David Toomey. David, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, how did a professor of English end up writing about evolutionary biology?
Yeah, he just happened to read a few newspaper articles. And many professors of English, I think many people who read a lot of a certain age began reading science fiction and were inspired to go on reading science fiction. But and I was one of them. And a few years ago, I happened to cross a piece about a National Research Council report on what some scientists term weird life. And it sounded like science fiction turned into science. And it just became an irresistible topic.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating topic, I'll tell you that. The title of your book, it's Weird Life, The Search for Life That Is Very, Very Different from Our Own. Perhaps we should start by talking about what you mean by the term life.
Yeah, the term life is something of a problem. In fact, biologists have no clear core definition of what is alive and what's not alive. And that itself comes as a surprise to many people. The short answer is we really don't know. We really don't have a definition. Many biologists would say they know it when they see it, but the problem there is if it is life that's very, very different from our own, nothing like anything we've ever seen before, we may see it and not recognize it as life.
Ah, very cool. So, and weird life then is, which is, it's non... I don't know, for lack of a better way to say it, non-weird life, what would that be?
Yeah, well, to understand that, we have to back up a little and explain, we have to do some basic high school biology and appreciate what I think many people may not appreciate, that all life on Earth, all life we know, shares certain fundamental features. It uses the same lipids in its cell walls and inside the cells, the same amino acids, the same proteins, and they're all doing the same things, or mostly the same things, about the same ways. All the chemical processes are similar, if not identical. And it's all these shared features that lead biologists to believe that all life we know, and this really means all life we know, that's you and me and a turnip and a blue whale, all of us are descended from a single microbe that lived some 3.5 to 3.8 billion years ago. Now, we're all, another way to visualize this is the phylogenetic tree. Now, what weird life would be, and I should say weird life is utterly theoretical. No one's seen any that they know of. But what weird life would be an entirely different phylogenetic tree or an organism that was part of that entirely different phylogenetic tree, not descended from that ancestor from which all of us are descended.
So let's talk a little bit about what then would make it weird. There are certain things that we all have in, or living things have in common, but what would make something weird?
Right. Well, you could be weird in moderate ways, and you could be weird in extreme ways. If we had moderate, I guess slightly weird life would be life that perhaps life we know uses sulfur in its DNA. But there is a possibility, and this was explored a few years ago in a piece that now has been largely discredited. But anyway, the idea had been that it is possible for life to replace the sulfur with arsenic in the DNA. That would be weird. It might not look very different from life we know, but it would be weird, and it might not be descended from that ancestor. So by this definition of weird life, it would be weird. But biologists and astrobiologists have imagined other kinds of weird life that are far more extreme, like all life we know, for instance, needs water.
Yeah.
For many reasons. But some astrobiologists have imagined life that uses ammonia instead of water, or life that uses liquid methane, or even life that uses liquid nitrogen. That would be weird. And then on the very far, well, we could get weirder and weirder and weirder. In the later chapters of the book, I do have some fun with this.
Yeah.
But there's ideas of weird life that are molecular clouds, interstellar molecular clouds, manipulating electromagnetic fields and moving around that way. There's ideas of life that is the size of a sesame seed and lives in the crust of a neutron star. That would be very weird.
your descriptions on that, those clouds of life, were really, really kind of fascinating. Kind of scary in a way. Make for good science fiction too.
And it was science fiction.
Yeah.
That molecular cloud was featured in a science fiction novel by Fred Hoyle called The Black Cloud. And Fred Hoyle was quite a well-respected and deservedly well-respected astronomer who wrote science fiction on the side. Naturally, his science fiction had a lot of science in it. So The Black Cloud of the novel is based in real science.
Yeah, we had sickers and floaters and something else. We had the one you mentioned, arsenic, and I got a big chuckle out of the comment. If we had arsenic had been in our genes, the book Arsenic and Old Lace might have turned into Phosphorus and Old Lace.
Mm-hmm.
that struck my funny bone. I can tell you that for sure. Oh, man.
Yeah, the subject itself is actually kind of irresistibly funny in many ways.
Yeah. If you didn't need oxygen, well, actually, I want to back up a little bit, because some of the things that we see now are pretty weird to me, to be perfectly honest, that we can have living things, you know, in nuclear waste, for example. To me, that's pretty weird.
It is, and it's interesting to realize that even those microbes found in the cooling towers at Chernobyl, even those microbes are descended from a single common ancestor. Even those are our distant relations, which is at the very least some a demonstration of the incredible variety of and reach of life we know.
Yeah, and you know, if you can have something living there, why not? Why couldn't there be something that was totally different from what we know in terms of what life is? Why not weird life? Well, we're going to visit some more about that with David Toomey, who is author of the book, Weird Life, The Search for Life That is Very, Very Different from Our Own. He'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You watch a science fiction movie, you'll see creatures that are doing things that are really pretty strange. They look a whole lot different from us. More often than not, they're after us and trying to eliminate us. They might be breathing like a human. They might even speak English. There's no evidence that there's life quite like that out there. But what has been detected probably is even more exciting. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the author of a fascinating new book. It's called Weird Life, The Search for Life That is Very, Very Different from Our Own. And while the weird life that David Toomey talks about may not lend itself to great movie plots and dialogues, I think it might. It has some incredible implications for how we understand our own evolution and place in the universe. Call us with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Back with our guest right after the news. We make a lot of assumptions about what life is, but the definitions we've been taught actually limit where we look and what we find. There might be a lot more life out there, weird or not, than we've ever imagined. Hi, Larry Mueller here. David Toomey, Associate Professor of English and Director of the Professional Writing and Technical Communication Program at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, has authored a new book. It's called Weird Life, The Search for Life That is Very, Very Different from Our Own. And he's with us today. David, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
We would like to have you join in. If you have questions for David, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And also go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. We talk about are people out there looking. Weird life is if you're just joining us, weird life is life that is not at all made up like our lives are. It may be non-carbon based. This life may not need oxygen. Might be living in an environment too hot or too cold for quote-unquote normal life. And that's kind of what we're talking about with weird life here and what David's written about. Do we have scientists out there looking for weird life?
We have scientists who have. At the moment, we have there's no ongoing program. We have had scientists looking for microbial weird life on Earth. At present, we have no NASA or the European Space Agency have no missions in development or even planned to look for weird life elsewhere.
Hmm. Well, Paul in Kenosha has a question for you. Paul, thanks for calling. Hi, what's on your mind?
Thank you. Early on in the program, the guest mentioned that all of the life that we know came from one microorganism. How is that known? How is that concluded, that it all came from one microorganism?
Hmm.
Great question. I should probably correct myself. I shouldn't say they know, but they hypothesize, and evidence leads them to such a conclusion. And the reason is a great many shared features of all life we know, shared features on the cellular level. A cell, you might say, has a great many choices for chemical pathways to use to get the things done that it needs to get done, to say, make a molecule of insulin. and the chemical pathways that it uses, the chemical pathways that all cells that we know use are the same or about the same. So that there are many features like this, a great many features like this, that one might say don't have to be like this. And it is these shared features that allow biologists to hypothesize that we all are descended from a single common microbe.
Hmm. Are viruses considered life?
Great question. It depends on who you ask. Some biologists do consider viruses life. I think it's the case that a majority do not. Viruses reproduce and viruses evolve, but they can do the reproducing and evolving only inside a cell. Some say that they can evolve is enough. Some say that's not enough. They're parasitical, and some count them as non-living.
Hmm. So there's a disagreement on that.
There's a possibility then that maybe there were multiple microorganisms that developed a similar type of cell feature that we have. I mean, that it wasn't necessarily from one. I've heard the idea that it's from one, too. It's even in a poem of Robert Frost where he says, there was one moment and only one when Earth actually took in the sun and life mm-hmm. evolved and so on. And but I really wondered how that could be concluded. There's such diversity, you know. You really wonder how it all could be from one microorganism.
Mm-hmm. There are hypotheses that there may have been more than one origin, and it's nice that you mentioned Frost. Frost was interested in science and wrote a lot. A lot of his poems have to do with science. But a couple of the scientists I mentioned early on in the book hypothesize, say, a second genesis or a third genesis. What I said about the common features before, I think I'd also qualify a bit. And I'm not sure you're alluding to the phenomenon called convergent evolution.
That's another thing that's in my mind when I'm thinking about, like, the rhinoceros auklet and the bird's penguin that's similar to it. And
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
they really came from very different families, but they, you know, they really have evolved to be similar type creatures.
Yes, that's and the maybe those are great examples. Another example is the eye. The human eye and the eye of the octopus are remarkably similar, right down to fine details. And it's hard to imagine two creatures less alike than humans and octopi.
Hmm.
Thank you very much for your explanation.
Thanks a lot, Paul, for calling. Appreciate your call. And you know what, David, I wish you'd... for our listeners, explain your book, sort of describe how your book's put together and what you discuss in the book. I should have asked you that right off the bat.
Well, if there's an organizing principle in the book, I start out describing life that's a little bit weird. And I end up life with life that's extremely weird. I start out with life that is the hypothetical microbial life that may be around us on Earth, what some have termed a shadow biosphere, and such life might be only a little different. It might use other chemical pathways, it might use other amino acids, and I work through middle chapters. Hypothetical life on Saturn's moon Titan, and that is an environment which gets a lot of scientists thinking that if we found weird life elsewhere in this solar system, that would be the place it would be, mostly because it's got liquid ammonia and liquid methane in abundance. And those might work as what a biologist would call a biosolvent. That might work the way water works here. And I moved through that into life that's weirder and weirder to the sentient molecular clouds and the sesame seeds on neutron stars.
David Toomey, our guest, talking with him about his book, Weird Life, The Search for Life, very, very different from our own. You can join in. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call or email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I got an email from Boyd who says this fascinating subject. How does your research, he says, how does the author's research differ from pseudoscience, studying Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster? And does the do you think there could be life on other planets? You just mentioned other planets. Many scientists do argue this, and they use the Drake equation to back up their argument.
Right. How is it, so to take them, I guess, in order, okay. How is it different from pseudoscience? It's close to pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. Let me back up. It is not pseudoscience because it can be defended. The hypotheses are real scientific hypotheses that put together would compose or comprise a theory. So the people hypothesizing weird life of various sorts, all those in my book, for instance, are respected scientists, the authors of the National Research Council report. Most of them direct laboratories or they hold chairs at universities. And all of them have long careers as biologists or microbiologists or astrobiologists. So in many ways, I'm trusting them. As to the question of life elsewhere in the universe and the Drake equation and so forth, the short answer is, as we know, I guess, is no one knows. The astronomers and astrophysicists, if you ask them, for the most part, if I can generalize, they would say they'd fill out the Drake equation so that we would have a universe perhaps full of life, some of it perhaps intelligent. If you ask biologists and microbiologists, a number of them might be somewhat more skeptical. And the reason they might be more skeptical is they're far more aware of the complexity of life we know, of a living cell, and the rather incredible number of steps it takes to get from an amino acid, which is only 18 or 20 or 50 molecules, to a protein molecule, which is rather larger. I mean, I should have said amino acid, 18 or 20 or 30 atoms to a protein molecule, which is made of thousands and thousands of smaller molecules. And a protein molecule, of course, is one of many, many thousands of molecules in a cell, all doing the rather complex things, yeah, amazingly, all the time. So biologists would say, how you get from one point to the other is not as easy as we non-scientists may think.
Yeah. Well, are there places, let's talk about some of the places right here on Earth where we might find weird life. Could we find it here on Earth?
Sure.
And if so, where are you?
We could start to look for life in extreme places where we know there is no other life, or we think there perhaps is no other life. Chile's Atacama Desert, for instance. It's hard to find life there, even microbial life. Ice sheets in glaciers, in some glaciers, parts of Greenland. Perhaps there's no life there, no microbial life at all. We could look there. If we found some in places like that, it would might have a good chance of being weird. We could look at places where we're finding extreme life now, hydrothermal vents in the deep ocean floor. There is life around that. We've known that since the 1970s, and the tube worms and so on are much in the public imagination. But even they seem to have their limits in terms of heat and pressure. If we found some near a hydrothermal vent where even a tube worm couldn't live, for instance, perhaps that's weird. So you could look to extreme places, but we could also look to a pinch of soil from a forest floor really closely. It's possible, and the people like Paul Davies and Carol Cleland have talked about the possibility of, I mentioned earlier, a shadow biosphere. That would be weird life, microbial weird life,
mm-hmm.
As it were, living among us. And there are a lot of microbes inside us, and there have been hypotheses of different sorts of microbial organisms, unlike any we know, living in human tissue.
Mm.
So weird life might be in us.
That is, that's pretty cool to think about. What about space? You talk about likely spots in space where we might find weird life.
Mm-hmm. The there is a hypothesis that weird life might exist on Mars. That it, at least in the subsurface of Mars. Not using water, but using hydrogen peroxide, which would be liquid. There are hypotheses of weird life, as I mentioned before, living on Saturn's moon Titan. And in fact, there is hypotheses for that are worked out in some detail. There are a few papers on that. In fact, a whole ecology, a microbial ecology. Years and years ago, Carl Sagan hypothesized a kind of weird life living in the atmosphere of Jupiter. These would be large living dirigibles, as he had said, the size of cities, and they would be mostly hydrogen. They would breathe hydrogen, their innards would be mostly of hydrogen. And that, too, was a whole ecology. There were floaters and sinkers and hunters. It was a little like the ecology of fish in Earth's oceans, but, of course, on a vastly larger scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it does look like there are planets that could support some life like ours, let alone weird life. And I guess that contradicts the sense that humans have had for millennia that we're unique.
It would. Hypotheses of other life and other civilizations are almost perhaps prehistoric. I don't know. What's different about weird life, I mean, weird life introduces to the conversation is a lot of other places to look. If we're just looking for life and we're not restricting our understanding or definition of what it is, and we're using instead a generous definition of life, maybe we should look at places like Saturn's moon Titan and... astronomers have reason to believe there may be a lot more of those in the galaxy than there are Earths.
Hmm.
If there are, then it's not a great leap to conclude there might be a lot more weird life than life, than normal life, familiar life in the universe.
So we're not, we may not be the normal ones, if you think in terms of the solar system.
Right. I mean, from another point of view, we'd be the weird ones.
Well, there's obviously a lot of limitations to not just locating weird life, but then studying it. What would it take for us to really invest in the search for and study a weird life?
That's a great question. I think the answer would depend on where you're looking. A dedicated search for weird life on Earth might not take all that much. I mean, many labs are already equipped to start something like that if you're looking for a certain kind of weird life. Of course, planetary probes, particularly to a place as far away and as challenging an environment as Saturn's moon Titan, that would be considerably more costly. But searches for types of weird life have already taken place. We've had no success yet, but
it's going to happen. You think
the discovery of weird life,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
a search?
No, I'm sure the search will happen, but the discovery. You think it'll happen?
After thinking and writing about this for a number of years, I'd have to say I don't know.
Ah, interesting. But it's sure something. It's sure fun to think about, isn't it?
Oh, it's great fun to think about. The reason I don't know is simply because no one really, biologists, microbiologists don't understand everything about how familiar life works, because we don't know, we really have to just make educated guesses as to how common it might be out there. So, I mean, the question boils down to, is familiar life an inevitable consequence of chemistry and complex chemistry? If the answer is yes, then the galaxy is probably full of life. If the answer is no, then the consequences, the galaxy, life in the galaxy is rare, and we could be here alone.
Yeah, lots of interesting stuff to think about. David, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. David Toomey, Associate Professor of English and author of Weird Life, The Search for Life That is Very, Very Different from Our Own. He's at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and really gives you a lot to think about in that book. And just a reminder, Darwin Day is tomorrow, February 14th. There's a teacher workshop on the UW-Madison campus all day. Friday night, 7 p.m., the keynote lecture by Kim Bostwick, who we just interviewed 45 minutes ago, talking about Evolution Revealed, How to Evolve a Seductive Musical Instrument from Feathers. Saturday from 10 to 2, lots of great things going on at the campus. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show for a full list of all the events. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.